This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, the even famouser Alec Medford is no doubt, hopefully, glad that we're back in the Metroplex. Mm-hmm. Alec, did you miss us, or did you like having all of that freedom and you're not glad that we're back?
I'm glad you're back because it gets eerily quiet in here, especially when Carter's gone too. So it's just like, as soon as Peyton's done, you know, yapping in my ear and telling me how much I suck, then like after that, it's just dead silence until Lucius gets here. So I am happy. I feel sane again. This is great.
Hooray for that.
From the 214, I'm mad at Sean's execution of Kevin's high five. That was a great joke. So.
Oh, because he went on the low? Yeah.
That's not a high five. It's a low five.
Yeah, that's fair.
I want to point something out before I start getting lots of questions. My guard fell off of my trimmer, and that's why I have no mustache or beard today.
And what about tomorrow?
It was a sad day around the house because before I left for New Orleans, my son Carter said, never shave your upper lip again. And I was like, because he'd seen pictures of me like back in the day.
Oh,
and he was like,
hurtful.
It looks weird. And I said, okay. And then this happened and I just had a stripe on my face. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to have to do it. So here we are.
Like big pop a pump.
Get your jokes in and then we can move on about our business or we don't even have to joke.
I mean, that's still like 8 times more facial hair than Joey had when he showed up here, right?
Well, I think I might have more than Carter still, too. Carter was trying to grow his out during the Super Bowl week, but...
That is a good point.
It's on your face.
Thank you. Yes, it is on my face. Thank you very much.
From the 469, people curious about the 1040 announcement.
You got to wait till 1040.
Yeah, you got to wait.
That makes sense.
Too bad.
That actually does make a lot of sense. Let's go to cut number one, because if you had this as a prop bet, you thought you were about to cash in huge. And then that damned replay sabotaged you.
What's coming? It's picked up. Hurts going deep. Has a man. It is caught. Dotson down there. He's in. Touchdown, Philadelphia.
Except he was not. And then, of course, they went to the tush push. Chris Jones looked like he hurt his neck. And it just all spiraled out of control from the Chiefs for there. Like, it's not often that you hear, hey, it was an 18-point victory and it was nowhere near that close. In reality, this was a 34-point game.
And I just watched that play again, Kevin. That wasn't a great throw by Jalen Hurts either.
No.
He had to pull up and to catch that one. So like, but he had beaten his defender so handily that it turned out the way that it was. Yeah, it never got started for Patrick Mahomes and their offense. It never got started.
See, this is a great question for the 817. Which vanished more, the Chiefs' offense or Corey's facial hair?
Chiefs' offense. I still have a little stubble. They did.
So they got, if I remember this right, I stopped watching like critically pretty quickly in this game. They got a first down on their first play and then didn't get a first down the rest of the half. Is that right?
Did they get a first down on their first
play?
Yeah,
he threw that kind of no-look kind of slant for 10 yards, and then they went Then they had three plays and punted. I don't think they got a first down the rest of the half.
It was the
he was terrible.
It was the play where he threw to
Schuster.
Kelsey.
Oh.
And Kelsey dropped it, and from that moment I was like, "Oh, it's all going to go bad for him here." Cuz Kelsey didn't look like he even knew what was going on. He looked lost the whole game.
Yeah.
Just going back and watching his face, he looked like he got a concussion before the game and didn't know where he was. And then the rest of it was history from there. Yeah, they never got moving, man.
From the 817, I don't know if this is a conversation for today. Y'all, we can have it if y'all want. How have I not heard more GOAT talks? Mahomes has been blown out in both of his Super Bowl losses. Brady could never. I mean, I think that's a conversation you can have. That was not the very first thing that I thought of, but this was a very humbling defeat, just like the Tampa one, I'm sure, was a very humbling defeat.
Did it not have very similar feelings to it as the way the game was lost?
I could see that.
Mahomes couldn't
stay. They're just rushing for it. Yeah. And within 2 seconds, they were around him.
Yeah, and Mahomes could not stay comfortable in the pocket, never could get his feet set, and was trying to do hero things.
Yeah.
Whereas whenever he was a little bit younger, it seemed like he could get those things done, and his teammates just dropped the ball. He didn't even look like he was making good throws in this game.
Yeah,
he doesn't have Tyreek Hill. If you look at his production, because I'm still a big Patrick Mahomes fan. I thought it was insane for Sean to ask a question. Is Patrick Mahomes equal to?
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that in the crosstalk.
Less than Josh Allen. And I'm like, why didn't you ask that question 2 weeks ago when he beat Josh Allen? I'm like, that's a weird, because then he's like, what's your problem with that question, RJ? And I'm like, well, the problem is you're giving me no option that he's better than Josh Allen.
Yep.
And I get if you just look at stats and everything, but that game yesterday, he did have a horrible game.
He did.
But he had no time to do anything. And then he doesn't have Tyreek Hill. So when he would do those crazy things and throw for 50 touchdowns or 40 plus touchdowns and win his MVPs and be the best player in the league, when he would escape pressure, he would just wing it across the field or in some weird direction towards Tyreek Hill, and somehow it would work out a lot of times. He doesn't have anybody who, when he scrambles, seems to then create some sort of crazy option for him to throw to.
And Corey just mentioned it. I mean, on the times when you would think the safest throw in all of postseason football is Mahomes to Kelsey.
Throw him in the dirt.
Yeah, there were multiple times where he threw him in the dirt, and then there was another time or two where Kelsey really felt like he should have gotten it and was like, I don't know.
Yeah, neither one of those guys could get on the same page. Xavier Worthy turns out to be an awesome receiver whenever it doesn't really matter that much. But that was the first time that he was able to, I guess, set his feet and throw it as far as he could. And that final touchdown was Mahomes having a little bit of extra time and just uncorking it. And he's the same in that way, Mike, in Tyreek Hill manner. He can not be out. He cannot be overthrown. And that was the way that they went after it. I just didn't understand why they couldn't do it more. But I guess that pass rush from the Philly front four was phenomenal, man.
This is, don't tell the Super Bowl MVP voters they didn't think that the defense did anything in that game. It's really weird. The thing I can't get over.
Are you saying somebody else should have won MVP?
Absolutely.
Defensive line.
Yeah, I thought.
You would have done like the Cowboys with Harvey Martin and Randy White that one year? Like, I could have given it to multiple.
Would have given it to Josh Sweat to start. But if you wanted to throw it to Josh Sweat, Milton Williams, like I could have lived with that.
Josh Sweat had 2 tackles for loss, 3 quarterback hits, 2.5 sacks. 6 total tackles. And like, he had a huge game.
And it was when they happened.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing to me. Like, Jalen Hurts, I thought, had a very workmanlike game, and then the game was over, and they were able to pad it just a little bit. I thought Josh Sweat, when the game was still in doubt, was wrecking that backfield for the Chiefs and Patrick
Mahomes.
Was
he the one that pushed the tackle into his legs on the second interception?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And so that's a play that, like, might not necessarily show up as, like, you get credited for this, but you can see that had a direct correlation with the interception right there. And so what I can't believe is the Chiefs got their ass kicked and Saquon Barkley was fine. Like, that's what I can't get over. I know he caught a lot of passes.
2.3 yards per carry.
Yeah. So I can't believe that running the ball, they, like, They did what they do. The Chiefs defense did what they usually do to top-notch runners. But I was like, this will be the most top-notch of them all. There's no way you can stop them. If you would have told me Saquon Barkley would get 2.3 yards per carry, I would have thought for sure that the Chiefs won by double digits.
That ended up, though, allowing Jalen to get 72 yards.
I could see that.
Because, you know, everything else is covered. Everything else is taken care of. We got to pay so much attention to Saquon Barkley over here. Jalen Hurts says, well, I'll just pick up this 17 yards right here. And Kevin, that was the moment where I told my family, I was like, this is the drive. This is the backbreaker. And they were like, what are you talking about? And I said, what they're doing right now, they're taking clock off the third quarter. They're burying this thing away. They're going to score, and then that's just continuing to add to it. That allowed it because, again, everybody on that team needs to be covered, and now Jalen Hurts is a very strong, capable runner, takes advantage of it. Jimmy Johnson, Kevin, before in the pregame show, Howie Long said, you know, Jimmy Johnson has said this before, and just a few times. It's not about who makes the most good plays, but who doesn't make the most bad plays. And the most interceptions, the most turnovers goes to the Chiefs. The Eagles held on to the ball. We discussed that.
Mahomes has been a turnover machine in Super Bowls.
Yeah, and that was the deciding factor for sure.
I do think this. He had to, at the point where he threw the pick six, which was a bad pass, without a doubt, bad pass.
But he felt like he had to make something happen.
He's like, at this point, we can't even get a first down.
Yeah.
I have to start trying
things. Have to be a hero.
Because that's what he's done this whole year. He doesn't have a great offense, and he doesn't have a great running back situation. And he's like, I'm not going to give the team we're playing the opportunity, because we can kind of move the ball a little bit. But he's, at this point, he's like, we're effed. I got to try. I got to go to crazy Mahomes.
Yeah.
And once he did that even it just ended the game quicker.
Yeah.
Like he could have been conservative and they could have just said, well, we score 0 points this whole game and we only lose 30-0 instead of, I'm going to say the fake score of 40-22. Yeah.
Is Devontae Smith going to go down as a very underappreciated receiver in his era?
I'm not going to lie. My answer is probably going to be yes, because even I was underselling him in the game before.
Even when he caught the touchdown, I was like, yeah.
What's your idea of Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt?
It's a good point.
When you have two great receivers and maybe one is...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It's a little bit better. They almost both get overshadowed because neither one stands out as the elite guy. AJ Brown, I think, is the one. Devontae Smith is the two. There's no such thing as like
Justin Jefferson numbers on that team.
Unbelievable great number. Like, you're like, this is the greatest. He's a top five receiver in the league. How? He's not even the best receiver on his team.
Yeah.
It was kind of Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. Well, there's a different version there. We thought 3,000 yard receivers was what we were going to have.
Yes.
Whenever we had Gallup and all of them. So
how did that work out for us?
Well, injuries, and then we didn't win the Super Bowl, Kevin, ultimately. So. Okay.
Did you guys think at halftime it was over? Because I'll tell you this.
Yes.
With 2 minutes to go in the first half, I thought it was still a game because I was like, all right, the Chiefs have the ball. If they could score here, they get the ball first in the second half. You could make it 24-10, 24-10.
Well, really, it was 17-0 at the 2 minute warning, wasn't it? Didn't he throw the pick after the 2 minute warning?
They'll have to check on that.
Because that's when ended for me is like at 17-0, they have the ball in the six. And I'm thinking like you're thinking.
But I meant after that. I meant after that when they got the ball.
They need to get 3 or 7.
Yeah.
Make it, let's say, 17-3 at half. And then you get the ball, you make it 17-10, and now Philadelphia has the ball. We have a game. But when he threw the pick and they got it to 24-0, I'm like, it's completely over.
See, and even at 24-0, I thought they were still in it. Because I was like, if anybody can make a weirdo comeback, it's the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And I was like, score to end the half, to start the second half. And
our house stopped
they didn't
watching
either.
After that pick. Like,
what'd you guys do instead?
We played a game. I forget what it's called, but we were at a friend's house. And you get a word, and you put the word on there, and then you have to draw it. Then you pass it to your next person, and based off of the picture they see, they have to write a word that they think it is, or a phrase that they think it is, and then it gets passed to the next person, and they see that phrase, and they have to draw the picture of that phrase.
Pass the pen?
Something like that. Yeah. And then you see at the end if you kept the word or how crazy the pictures got and the word became.
Yeah.
So that's what we did instead.
Carter started FaceTiming one of his friends from his football team. And I was like, you need to put your earbuds in. I don't want to hear that kid right now. Sorry. Like, it just.
Oh, wow.
Look, man, when you're on speakerphone, it's just louder. I don't know what it is about speakerphone. So that was the thing. And then I said, Carter, let's do that. And then he left. So after halftime.
Oh, Telestrations. Hunter Wells on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. I played that game.
Telestrations.
That is where I learned what a charcuterie board was, because that was the word that got passed to me. And this was years ago. I was like, I have no idea what that is. So I drew a dartboard. Because that's a board that I knew. And so then the next person wrote dartboard, and I was like, hey, you did the right thing off my drawing. But that's because I had no idea what this was. And so
Can you not just be like, I don't know, I don't know what this word is?
Yeah.
You should have just admitted that.
So I had, at the time, I had no idea what it was.
But I wonder this. The game was still on. We just turned it on mute.
Okay.
So I'm wondering this, when it comes to ratings, when I guess we get that either this afternoon or tomorrow,
yeah.
I still think the ratings will be great because people like us at a Super Bowl party, the game was still on. We just put it on mute. And I know that that TV doesn't count. They don't have like
a box or whatever.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm like, I'm assuming that's how you're still going to get great numbers. I'm sure there'll be some like the fourth quarter. We did have to go drive and pick up our kids. So I wasn't even at, I didn't watch at all in the fourth quarter or even have it. But I'm assuming that house still had the game on TV. So I'm assuming you'll still get really good numbers because people just keep it on to keep it on.
Yeah. And especially because it's become such like a pop culture phenomenon with all the commercials and obviously the halftime show dominated a lot of people's thoughts on social media.
Corey, Saturday, we call up our daughter and we're like, how's it going? Da, 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 talking. And we're like, what you doing for the Super Bowl? And he's like, she's like, I'm going over to my boyfriend's house and we're having a lot of people over.
Boyfriend.
And I'm like, who are you rooting for? And she goes, I don't even know who's in the game.
Oh.
And then my wife chimes in. She goes, I don't know who's in the game either.
Well, that's good. I mean, and just in case, you know, that's not a bad thing.
That's the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
40% of the people watching don't even know who's in the game.
I'm sure
because it's a social event.
Right.
That was something I started thinking about last night as I was looking around. Is it too soon for me to start thinking this? I was looking around the room and going, we're going to have to get new chairs like over in that corner of the living room because one day Avery might be married. Carter might be married, and they're all going to come back to my house and watch the Super Bowl. In my mind, I'm already convinced they're all coming back because they love me. When in reality, they're going to leave and never come back, and I'll see them like 2% for the rest of my life.
They're going to come back. I don't know if you need to buy the chair yet.
I'll wait till the dog passes because that's his area right now.
Okay.
And then when he passes, I'll just put a chair in there.
I mean, you could wait until one of the boys tells you they knock somebody up or they're getting married.
Or gets married.
You can knock somebody up and not be married and not be a bad person. Just sometimes you make poor decisions.
Yeah, he made a poor decision this weekend. We'll talk about
it. Come on, Daddy.
Okay, Troy Aikman.
I feel like Mike now.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some Super Bowl stew. Did you email Bill Murray like I did?
No.
Next on The Fan.
Back goes Mahomes. He's rushing. He's looking. It's intercepted. It's intercepted. Running with the football to the 25. Down the far side is the Gene. And Ka-Ching is in for a touchdown.
Happy birthday, Cooper the Sheen.
Cooper the Sheen with a pick for a touchdown.
A pick six in the Super Bowl on your birthday.
I guess maybe they thought Cooper was camp, and that's why they said Cooper the Sheen.
Adrian said his name three different ways, too, though.
Oh.
So I was like, well, don't worry
I used
about
to think it.
It
was Cooper DeJean for sure.
Yeah.
The Eagles' call. So is his name DeJean?
It's DeJean. DeJean. I do not believe so.
DeJean is D-I-J-O-N. Grey Poupon.
Huh?
DeJean mustard. Never mind.
Okay. So,
good job, Corey.
Hey, the Eagles are the champs.
Cooper DeJean scores a pick six on his 22nd birthday. He's the first player in the history of the Super Bowl with a touchdown on his birthday. However, did you see the other factoid about not being the first NFL player to do that in a championship game on his birthday?
Mm-mm.
Of course, we take you, as you would have guessed, to Steve Van Buren in 1947.
But it's always Steve Van Buren.
He was awesome.
Yeah, he has all these stats that it hasn't been done since him.
And I think his brother or cousin was president. Like, he did a lot. So, 1947, he scored a touchdown in the NFL championship game. So, good job, Cooper DeJean. And it was Saquon's birthday as well.
He didn't score a touchdown.
I know. He did not
score a touchdown. What a catch, though, was that the fourth quarter? That catch down the sideline that he had?
Oh, yeah. And he just kept going down the sideline. Absolutely.
Everything, man.
All right. We're going to throw out perhaps our final helping of Super Bowl stew right here. And I know the country is very divided. These are tough times. But I think we finally found one thing we can all agree on during the Super Bowl. The Fox Sports score bug was stupid.
So that's our new one next
divided
year, right?
On this?
Like
no, I'm saying the country's divided, but we've all come together.
Saying. Okay, all right,
for
yeah.
For this.
Yes, this was the most ridiculous thing. Why? Why? Like, it looked like they
what
never
gonna have next year. They just rolled it out for the
I
Super
hate
Bowl.
It.
Awful.
What was wrong with it?
It's too fat.
Okay.
Yeah, it's too big. It's too blocky. Yeah. It doesn't have like
it took up too much. It took up too much TV. It took up too much of the space. I was distracted by it. And then it was like, but don't worry, we don't have a background so you can still see through it. I was like, why? It doesn't even matter. It's all in my face the whole time.
I wonder how much they paid people to come up with that. To change, right? When you change something like that.
College football playoff.
You better say nice things about the Rangers. We're going to have some cool things on there.
That name costs $65,000.
We're not on Bally's. So.
Yeah.
It costs $65,000.
For the college football playoff name. They created the college football playoff.
They hired a committee.
That paid.
That's what they came up with.
Well, I mean, they paid. I'm sure they paid somebody a lot of money. And
I have no doubt.
A person, but a company or whoever does that for Fox. Like, we want a new bug. And they probably went through 5 to 10 different ones. And they settled on this is the best one going forward. So I'm assuming next year when you watch Cowboy games, that will be what it looks like.
It was universally panned as stupid. I did not like it either.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Let's go ahead and let's fix that. Take it. Whatever it was during the regular season, why didn't you just leave it like that?
Now's the time to debut.
No, it's not. This is the time to be the best.
Technology.
Just do what you did well all season. Same for Brady. Don't act nervous. Sorry, man. He could have been better. I would have rather had Greg Olsen.
So, agreed. Let's go to cut number 18. This was before the game. Hey, when the TV camera's on you, the pressure can be on. So let's go to an Eagles fan on Bourbon Street who is ready to spell things out for his team.
It's over!
You want to leave the chat with your people? Go ahead, spell it.
E-A-G-E-L, Eagles!
Now.
Michael.
That was...
Pac-Man Jones?
No, it was not Pac-Man Jones. Magnitude. I don't know, some guy. He spelled it E... A and then G E L. So
first, I'm a horrible speller.
First of all, didn't need the S.
Yeah.
Also,
just one eagle.
Didn't spell the rest of it correct either. Mm-hmm. But he was.
Yeah. Do they say
up.
The S at the end, or do they just go E Eagles, or do they spell
I
it?
I think
with
they put the S on there. Okay.
You know why I know, Mike? Because every person that got off the airplane.
Oh my God!
At the New Orleans airport would start screaming that chant whenever they walked off the airplane. There were so many Philly fans in that airport, man.
Let me tell you something. They are good fans. They might be mean, sure. And they might beat you up, and that's wrong. Right? They're not cordial, but they are into their teams, I mean, 5 times more than DFW fans are.
Yeah.
The way that they have chants, the way that they are into the game.
Yeah, they care.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I get you hate that chant. I don't like it. I mean, I tease Cowboy fans by doing it, but they are into the game.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to dispute that whatsoever.
Even when their team gets rid of the best players on their team, they still just believe that they can do it.
They traded their Luka?
I don't know. I'm just assuming.
Cowboys are thinking about it too. Get ready for that. We'll get to that in just a little bit. By the way, inner excellence. A.J. Brown, well, I was going to say the A.J. Brown book. He didn't write the book. The Jim Murphy book that hopefully Jim Murphy is sending A.J. Brown some money because it is back up to number 4 on the Amazon book charts. And I have a feeling that it might go up even higher because once again, A.J. Brown, get work done, pulls out a copy of the book. It's amazing.
Question. I haven't looked up this book yet. Was it getting good reviews before A.J. Brown was reading it on the sideline? Or did people look at it and go, I've read it. It was okay. There were things that I liked about it, things that I didn't like.
I think like 14 people had reviewed it. Like it was just.
And only 12 had the book.
I don't know the story. How did A.J. Brown find this book?
Ooh, I'm not sure. I just know he's obviously super into sports psychology. I don't know what led him to this book specifically. It's just if you look at a ton of the reviews, they come in post or around the time of the NFC Championship game.
His teammate Moro Ojomo or Ojomo introduced him to it.
What?
Ojomo. I thought the J could be pronounced as an H. And I mispronounced it, I believe, because the J,
I turned around,
much like AJ Brown, The J is pronounced.
I was like, wait, what's his name? There's a guy's name on the team?
Quote, it just spoke to me because certain challenges I face as an athlete keep recurring in my career. So thank you, Moro Ojimo. Ojomo. Son of a bitch. I'm sorry. My
hey.
Did we just tell me we dumped it?
As long as we're having fun.
Just please tell me we didn't.
When the Chiefs were losing. Here, Corey, this is just for you. I'm gonna try to deflect the narrative, all right?
Awesome.
Dick Vitale, he tweeted out at halftime that when the Eagles were ahead 24-0, somebody asked about the odds of a Chiefs comeback, and he said, I think I've got a better chance of being named the sexiest man in television, baby.
Oh, nice. Who is the sexiest man in television?
I don't know. Who was that last person that you said?
I was like, the Chiefs are probably telling Kendrick Lamar, play 5 more songs. F us coming out for this.
We don't want to get back out there.
I can see that for sure. The ratings would have been way better if they would have kept going with Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, when they showed coming back for the second half, at first they showed one of those steamboats in New Orleans. I was like, the Chiefs are probably on that effing boat right now.
We got to get the hell out of here. All right, Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith, the fifth player to win a national championship, a Heisman Trophy, and a Super Bowl.
Good for him.
We've lost Mike for the rest of the segment. Sorry,
I'm still trying to recover.
It shocked me because I'm like, maybe that is his name.
I'm doubting most of my decisions. I'm just saying, most of my decisions
awesome.
I'm doubting.
It's a mistake. We've all made mistakes.
Sure. That's I said funny. The F word a couple of weeks ago and then freaked out about it. So
one time Brad Sham taught somebody on a women's too. Part.
That did happen. Hey, all right. So did you didn't see AI Jimmy Johnson before the
no,
game?
No, I will admit, and I think we talked about this last week. I don't really watch much of the pregame. Like I started the record just a little bit early so I can make sure not to miss the anthem and stuff like that. But I didn't see any of the pregame.
So. Okay. All right. Yeah. Now it was a little awkward, but Adrian looked at me and goes, hold on. Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones were on the same college football team and they won a national championship. And I was like, oh yeah, you're a casual football fan.
Yeah.
You know? And so that was her moment to see all of that and how all that went down. But it did. It was pretty interesting, but it was kind of weird.
But Jimmy Johnson is alive.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the weird. Well, but they had to go back in time. They had to go back in time.
So kind of like what we did at like in Rogue One and different stuff like that. Okay, I got you.
Put his face on a different body. So it was interesting. But I was also wondering where Brad Pitt was during the read that he was. That place looked amazing, and I don't know how they cleared the whole place out. They also cleared out Bourbon Street so Lady Gaga could sing. That was kind of wild, too.
Man, I wish they would have cleared out the CGI department of whoever made that Martha Stewart commercial. Like,
it would have been fine had she not done the dancing.
Yeah.
Now, I do have this question for you, Kevin. What did you think of the green screen backdrop for Kevin Burkhart and Tom Brady?
What
I
do you
loved
mean?
It.
They weren't standing on Bourbon Street?
No, they weren't standing on Bourbon Street. Bourbon Street's not that empty. But I thought it was really cool. I just thought it was a different backdrop.
Yeah, I liked it.
Usually
liked
it's
just
some,
fine.
You know, some gray and black shapes in the background.
And then they have the scoreboard running behind you, but they're like, ooh, there's no other game. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So Devontae Smith, we talked about accomplished all of this. Also, and this is astonishing to me, Bleacher Report says that Devontae Smith is the first player drafted from Alabama to score a Super Bowl touchdown.
Is that true?
I mean,
according to math.
According to Bleacher Report, not to math. And because remember, like quarterbacks, you don't get credit for scoring the touchdown if you throw the touchdown.
Really?
It's whoever's in the end zone. I know it
Yahoo
goes
Sports?
On your stats, but you don't get credit for scoring the touchdown.
Yahoo Sports confirmed it. So there you go, Kevin.
Wasn't the first touchdown by Jalen Hurts? I guess, he's drafted by Oklahoma.
Exactly.
Like, okay.
Interesting. That too. Wow. You would think with how many players, like
sure.
Julio Jones, you would have thought that he would be on that
yes.
list. But you would think with how many players they
Joe
put
Namath
out.
Joe Namath only played in one, so he obviously didn't run one in Super Bowl III.
Yeah, that is true. That is absolutely true.
They didn't have the tush push back then?
Yeah, I guess not. Corey,
Derek Classic didn't get in the end zone for the Cowboys.
Yes, that is true. Corey, how did the people in your household react to Taylor Swift getting booed?
Nobody saw it. Everybody was in a different room whenever that. I didn't even see it. I saw it on Twitter or something.
Neither did Taylor Swift, because they showed the camera and she looked up and heard the booing. And I think she said, "What's happening?"
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's what Philly, like, that's what I would expect, right?
I still think that people should be booing the TV executives, not her. It's not her fault they keep putting her on
but
camera.
But she's a Chiefs fan. Like, they were just booing Chiefs fan. If they put Paul Rudd up there, I think they should have booed him, too. And if they put Bradley Cooper up there, I think that everybody from Kansas City should have booed him.
That felt like a pretty pro-Eagles crowd in the intros. Now, I know eventually the game got to the point where you're like, Chiefs fans, like, I don't care.
Yeah, it definitely did feel very green.
God, can you imagine? I was thinking of that halftime. You're like, I paid $25,000 hotel, food, flight, tickets. And I get it. You have a lot of money. I assume if you did that as a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and you're just sitting there at halftime and you're just like, we can go home.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you start checking American Airlines or Southwest Airlines or whatever.
For like an early flight.
Yeah. Can I just go home now? Like, there's no reason to watch this.
Yeah. But if you're an Eagles fan, I could see how you're just.
Second half ticket to an Eagle fan outside.
Yeah, it's just nothing but a victory laugh. And you're like, hey, will you take this off my hands? And you're like,
because it reminded me of, for me at least, it reminded me of as a kid, the first ever Super Bowl that I was super duper invested in as a Cowboys fan was 92. And by halftime, you had a great idea the Cowboys were going to win. You're like, it will take a miracle comeback. Yes, the Bills had done that against Houston. Maybe that might have been the next year that they did that. So maybe it hadn't happened yet. But like, you just felt like, I can't believe it. We beat San Francisco. Yes. We miraculously beat them in San Francisco. And now we're killing the Buffalo Bills. We're killing them.
And then the fourth quarter was the greatest quarter of football ever had. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, very special edition of Baseball Nuggets.
What's the future of this former Texas Ranger? Next.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for a very special edition of Baseball Nuggets.
All right, let's get to it. I will be leaving The Fan at the end of the month. So that was what I was going to say. Tuesday, obviously, people are like, what are you teasing? Ended up, they didn't want me saying it yet, so I respected the wishes of the station. But Friday I got the go ahead that we could say this. And obviously I'm pumped about my job as the Rangers analyst on television, and I'll be doing approximately 100 games there for the Texas Rangers. And just looking at it from the station, looking at it from the perspective of how much I'd be traveling with the team, me looking at it on the duty that I have to do Ranger games, that it just wasn't going to be really possible to do both. So making the split, we'll be headed to spring training at the end of the month. So my last shows on the station will be at Surprise. Covering the Texas Rangers, which is very cool to kind of end it that way.
Because, probably poetic.
Yeah, I don't know if many people know my story on how I got, let's say, to The Fan. But in 2011, after the Mavericks had won the title, it was a weird text or call. I honestly can't remember how much phone conversation or text it was. But Greg Williams, Grego, reached out to me and he goes, Mike, I really think you'd be great at The Fan. You know, what are you up to? What are you doing? I'm going to put in the word with Bruce Gilbert that you should come over here, this and that. And I was like, this is out of nowhere. And I'm like, well, thanks, Grego. That would be great. But I'm like, my career's over. I know my career's over. I screwed it up and I deserved what I got and I am done. But cordially, yeah, thanks, Grego. No problem. And Bruce Gilbert at the time was the station manager here and
saw him at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And so right before the Ranger season was coming to an end in 2011, Bruce Gilbert reached out to me and he said, hey, Mike, love to meet you. We've never met before. And so I met him and we talked about things and he said, look, I obviously have no position here available. But I just wanted to meet you and get to know you. I've heard some good things about you from multiple people. And, I said, well, what are you doing for the Rangers postseason? Cause it's about to start 2011. Rangers are headed to the postseason. And, I said, I'll do Rangers post game postseason for you. If you're looking for that, I'll do it for free. If you think I can do this, I can prove it to you or not prove it to you. And so he called me back a day later and said, hey, I can't let you do it for free. But this is a good idea. Come on and whoever's on, they did not have the Rangers in 2011. The Rangers weren't here at 105.3.
That one year.
So when the game's over, we're going to go to kind of a 30 minute to an hour Rangers postseason, postgame, deal here. And who's ever on is on. So I worked with Richie Witt and Grego and Sybil. And then that's when I got to meet you guys. I think it was the Detroit series, right? So they beat Tampa. I didn't do a show with you guys, but then early on in the Detroit series, I believe.
Derek was pitching the game, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so I jumped on with you guys after the game ended and did that. So that was the first time I ever got to work with you guys. And then I don't remember the timeline, but then Bruce left. You might know the timeline better. Maybe a year later or so after that October 2011.
I think he left in a little early in 2013.
And so Spittle was coming back from Houston. He was here early on when the fan started, and then he went to Houston, and then he came back. And as he was coming back, he reached out to me. I was doing part-time stuff at the fan, so I was filling in when there needed to be fill-in time. I was doing some Rangers post-game stuff, and I believe by that point the Rangers were back on the fan. Spittle said, hey, I don't have a job for you today. I'm taking over, but I want you to be part of this. Just give me some time and be patient. I said, all right. And so in September of 2013 is when you guys took over the nighttime show that Gavin / the G-Bag Nation was leaving to go to middays. And so Gavin and Jeff and Chris, and then I was added to the midday program, the G-Bag Nation, in September of 2013. I'll remember that date because on that date, our first ever show, I also was inducted into the Duncanville Hall of Honor for sports.
Cool.
So that night after the show was over, I went to Duncanville and gave the speech and accepted the award for going into Duncanville's Hall of Honor.
Mike, around that time, by the way, Gavin Spittle did ask both of us you would join the show, if we'd be okay with that. And I said, well, what would we call the show? And then we were like, the bench, the dugout. We just kind of let, like, the bullpen.
Yeah.
And so, but then you joined G-Bag Nation, and we got to hear you every day there.
Yeah, so I just want to say that that's how it started. And then, obviously, G-Bag Nation got moved up to afternoons. And I was with them, but I couldn't do that. Family wise, I couldn't do it. Wanting to keep doing the Ranger job, I couldn't do it. I was doing pre and post. I was not doing the stuff I'm getting to do now. And so got moved back. That was something that I wanted. I loved you guys. Not that I didn't love G-Bag Nation, but I was like, I think I can work with these guys and it can be a really fun show. So that started right before COVID, pretty much.
Yes, it did.
We made the big change. Broadus got added to the station. He went to the G-Bag Nation and I was with you guys, and then COVID happened. So our first year or so of really working together for the most part was all Zooming. Corey and I Zooming at home. Kevin didn't care about COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would come up here and say, I don't believe in this thing. Right.
Every day he'd be like, COVID is over.
Stating that.
Yeah. COVID is over. Get into the station.
Yeah, I'm
every
on
day.
Tinder doing my thing.
You know what? That is a tough argument for me to go against because I did get married that year too. So you make a good point. I didn't realize it, but I guess I was.
And so I've got to be with you guys now for approximately 6 years.
Yep.
I'm super excited about what the future holds. I hope that I do a great job with the Texas Rangers. I hope that I can be close to as good as my mentor, Norm Hitchkiss, as the great Tom Grieve, I understand that those are high expectations to live up to. And there's been other people. Busby was great at it. You know, I can remember as a kid, Jim Sundberg jumping in there some. I've been a Ranger fan for a long time, and to get to do this is just an unbelievable dream come true. And so I will be leaving the station effectively, I believe it's February 28th. It's literally the last day of February, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's, but I think February 28th is the correct. Friday in Arizona will be my last show on The Fan.
And I just want to, for clarification, I'll allow you to take it over because I've already seen this question come.
It has a dentist appointment that day.
Dadgummit. Two bad things in one day.
For what would you say to the people who think that maybe you'll just be gone for baseball season?
No, this is permanent. So when, let's just say, the Rangers hopefully win the World Series or whatever, obviously we wouldn't be doing broadcast in October. That the playoffs go to national games. But no, I will not be coming back in October and doing radio. So this February 28th literally will be my last day with the station. Now, I guess you can hear me because I will be doing some pre and post with the Texas Rangers, and it'll be a simulcast this year. So it'll be on television while also on 105.3 The Fan. So you could hear me chiming in with Jared Sandler as Jared's leading the pregame or leading the postgame here on 105.3 The Fan, but doing the radio show with you guys and stuff like that. And you guys have known, by the way, just
sure.
Kevin and Corey have known for a while.
Yeah, this has been really tough.
We've had to keep it quiet for a while here, but with the blessings of Gavin Spittle, we are able to tell you, the Tolos, our friends, our family, we're able to tell you guys now today that I have 4 shows this week. I have 3 shows next week, and then I have the 5 shows in surprise. And so I am down to, including today, 12 shows left on The Fan.
Do you think you'll still listen to our show?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, I'll be. I mean, and there's part of me that.
We just gained a listener.
This is very comfortable.
True.
You know, I've been doing this now, like I said, for a while, but September of 2013, full time. So I've been doing this for a while. So this is very comfortable.
Yeah.
And working with the Rangers, I love doing it, but I know that that's a very competitive job. If you look at the people that are hired full time, yes, there's national spots too, but there's 30 teams. And so there's 30 of those jobs. Now, there are, like, last year we had Valley and me and Murph doing it. This year it will be me predominantly doing it and Murph doing about it'll be like 2/3 to 1/3 for Ranger fans. That's about how it'll break down. So I know it's a highly competitive job and know that I'm going to do the best that I can and to do the best that I can and to give it my all. I don't think it was possible to do both. And obviously the Rangers saw it that way. The Fan saw it that way. And it was not like, I don't know how to say it, but it was everybody was together on this. The people here at The Fan, the people with the Rangers, we all understood what was happening when we came to the agreement that I would be doing the majority of Ranger games.
Well, look, like you said, we've known about this for a while, but still even hearing it it's bittersweet because on the one hand, we're really sad that you're going to be gone. But on the other hand.
But happy at times.
Yeah, that's fair. I am 85% sad that you're leaving. No, I'm just kidding. But on the other hand, you're going to be the predominant color man on the Rangers TV broadcast.
That's awesome. And you were our guy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you were ours. He was ours, you know, as people have chanted before.
And like I said, I know I'm out of time, but I never thought that was possible. Even last year in November on vacation with my wife, she asked me about my dream job. And I said, my dream job would be to be on radio or television for the Texas Rangers. But I know that that's probably not possible, but that would be the dream job. And then who would have ever known a week or two later, CJ, Nikowski gets the job with the Atlanta Braves and John Blake and the Rangers call me up to interview me for the possibility of calling Ranger games as the analyst. And I was like, this is unbelievable. So that's it. It's not today. It's not over today, but we have We have 12 more engagements to listen to my sorry butt on the fan.
We're the KNC masterpiece.
Sad.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the amazing start and terrible conclusion of Anthony Davis's first game with the Mavs. Next on The Fan.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.